is happening, everybody? Welcome to another weekly episode of That Tattoo Show, a podcast and a YouTube show where we talk about tattoo related stuff, and we're on all the platforms and stuff, but we prefer YouTube because, you know, it's fun. I am one of your hosts, Chris, and we're also joined with an extra special co-host this week, and that is...
Oh, folks.
Chris.
Yo.
You seem a little bit extra serious this week. Is this going to be one of those like serious episodes?
Well, it might be. It might not be. We'll see how it goes.
If you watched last week's episode, you may have heard of us talking about a new feature for the show that we've decided to add in. So we won't be doing any news this week because it's been another slow news week. I think people don't make brand new tattoo products in the middle of the summer. Maybe they leave it to the winter time. This is kind of the comment section because it comes from a comment, but the comment and the nature of the comment and the interactions around it was enough for us to invent a brand new section of this show. You want to tell them what it's called, Chris? Because you named it.
Dirty Deletes.
It's time for Dirty Deletes.
Self-entitled.
So, Dirty Deletes, Chris, what's happened?
Okay, so I just want to preface this by saying on this channel, we try to provide accurate information for all of you guys. When I do reviews, it is partly based on experience as a tattoo artist, and it's also based on people that I work with, their experience and how they use machines and what they think of it. It's not just a one-man band sitting down, getting a new machine and going, oh my God, bro, this machine is the fucking best machine in the world, bro, like a lot of other YouTubes are out there. Like, we put machines through their paces. I will drop them on the floor to see if they can still work afterwards. And, you know, I give them to loads of different artists. So I try to get, like, as much feedback as possible. And I also ask the manufacturers the questions that you want to know, because I want to know the answers to those as well. And... you know, I'm completely open to talking to you guys when you want to message me privately and ask my advice on tattoo machines. And I will give you honest advice and honest feedback. It just so happens that sometimes people can't take feedback, or they may not like what I've got to say, even though what I've got to say is the truth. And it's also based on my experience as an artist. Now, that happened. I had a conversation with somebody. So somebody sent me a message, asked me advice, right? And I gave him all the advice. And this was months ago, wasn't it? It was like, we even spoke about it on the podcast at one point. Now...
we did, yeah.
Yeah.
And we both agreed about the nature of the question.
Yeah, so...
And we both gave the same answer. It's like, that's kind of how it is. But that clearly wasn't what this person wanted to hear, I guess.
So yeah, so then obviously we get comments all the time. We read the comments, we answer the comments and so on. But one comment popped up, and I'm not going to put this person's name on it because I don't think they deserve the fucking airtime, but I am going to fucking read the comment, right? So unnamed...
Stand by, everybody. Yeah, stand by.
No, to be fair, right? Like, I thought it was like, I was a little bit annoyed, right? Because like... I just opened it up and it was somebody put a comment saying, I actually messaged Chris about the shop I was working at just to see what his advice would be. As soon as I heard him use the argument about time, like him saying just because he'd been tattooing for 10 to 20 years, that makes him better than other artists with a lower amount of time. After that, I stopped watching their videos and take what he says with a grain of salt. If you're still stuck in that mindset, that is a weakness. Time doesn't matter. It's how much work you put into it, period. Now, before I go any further, right, fucking how much work you put into something equates to time. You can't put fucking 20 years worth of tattooing into fucking 3 months. Common sense.
Yeah.
Plus, every machine I've bought from their reviews were horrible. Sorry, but it's BS that we buy machines that you say are God and they completely shit. Now, first things first, right? If you are watching this, learn to fucking read, learn to write. You know, I understand that, you know, where you live hasn't got the best education system. So in future, double check what you're saying, learn a bit of grammar. But anyway, that triggered me because I was just like, first of all, I was like, I would not have said that. Like, I know that there are artists out there that have been tattooing for a lot less amount of time than I've been tattooing, and they are better than me. Because guess what? Back when I was learning to tattoo, it wasn't the way that it is now. So you can learn a lot more in a short amount of time if you're willing to take advice now than when I first started tattooing. And I'm not some fucking arrogant fucker, and I'm not so up my fucking own arse that I'm going to be like, I'm the fucking greatest in the land.
No, that's
I know
me.
There are people out there that are better than me that have been tattooing less amount of time, because there's only one Paul Talbot.
Fucking
but
right.
But the point I'm making is like, that triggered me, because I was like, fuck you. Like, I wouldn't have said those things to him. So I scrambled through and I found all the screenshots. I sent it to Paul, and I basically, long story short, this, I wonder if it's in the response. So yeah, I'm going to read out the response that I gave to him, and so you'll see, because like, obviously I'm all for transparency. So if somebody fucking says something that's a lie, then I'm going to fucking happily post my message on a public forum. So to defend my honor, like, you mean, got to defend my honor. So I replied, said, hi, fucking cut name out. So I've gone back through my messages and I would like to set the record straight. You approached me complaining about how a shop that you don't own but work at was controlling you more than any artist there, specifically based around realism tattoos. I asked you how long have you been tattooing, and you told me 5 years. I did say that you show promise for someone who has been tattooing for 5 years. And I will say that, as somebody who's been tattooing for that short amount of time, you do have promise. You're at that level that some people are at the 5 year mark. I also then went on to show you some examples of work that were done by multiple artists in my studio. And I also told you how long it took them to do it, along with how long they've been tattooing. And that was to illustrate that with time, you will naturally become a faster tattooer. So I then followed it up with a message of, and this is the message I sent to him privately that I posted publicly. So I followed up with a message of, now, if you take into consideration how long we have been tattooing, one of us is 13 years, one of us is 18, and the other one is 35 years. You will understand what I mean when I say that you will get faster and better with time. 5 years is a small amount of time in the grand scheme of things. So I would really concentrate on your work and don't worry about time, because you can always split pieces into multiple sessions. Ultimately, though, shops have opening times. Like, our studio opens from 10 till 5, and anyone who works in our shop knows that that's the opening hours, and they have to manage their time and the client's expectations to fit within the opening hours of the studio. So I wouldn't say it's control, more a case of you needing to figure out a way to work within the time that you have. Using different machines to be more efficient, pre-planning the design to allow you to do it in multiple sessions, etc. I really hope this makes sense to you. So, and then I then went back, this is the comment then on the YouTube comment. Looking back at it now, I'm assuming that they were controlling you because maybe the style you wanted to do, which is realism, you wasn't up to the standard that they wanted at the shop. So rather than take on board people's advice and respect the people whose shop you work in, you sought advice elsewhere. It just so happens that the advice given wasn't what you wanted to hear, and maybe got a little butthurt by honesty and fairly reasonable advice, which led to you writing the above post, trying to make us look like something we aren't. Now, I had to edit that because I wanted to write, you wrote the above post, trying to make us look like a bunch of c***s, but Paul said I couldn't put that in there. So I'm putting it in this one.
Public forum.
So rather than make us look like that, concentrate on your work and maybe, concentrate on your work, and in another 5 years, you may be able to get your tattoos done within the opening hours of your studio. For the record, I'm fully aware that there are many artists out there better than myself and who have been tattooing for less time. Fortunately for them, they are the type of artists that actually take on board advice given to them. So maybe take a leaf out of their books and have a fantastic day. So yeah, that's that. Basically, somebody asked advice. I give them advice that they didn't want to hear. I'm guessing it may be a symptom of when everyone tells you you're better than you are, and when reality fucking kicks in and hits you with a brick wall, and you realize that when you're speaking to people that have been tattooing for longer than you, that have got more experience than you, and are better than you. Because I'm not going to fucking, I value myself as a tattooist, and I will happily turn around and say that every single person in my studio was a better tattooist than you. And if you worked in my studio, you would be an apprentice at most. You would not be allowed to do the tattoos that you want to do. You've got promise, but you are nowhere near the standard that you need to be in order to be kind of like left alone to do the tattoos. I just think maybe you need to have a reality check and realise that you're not fucking all that, and take advice and listen to people.
I'm just going to add something to that. Years ago, I was given one of the best pieces of advice that I've ever been given. I wasn't in tattooing. This was in a completely different creative field. But somebody said to me, the thing about it is, Paul, to stay in this industry, and they were talking about the music industry for a long period of time, they said, talent will get you through the door, but humility and gratitude will keep you there.
Yeah.
You know, like, your talent will get you through the door, right? But you have to develop the right attitude as a human being to work with teams of other people and fit in with this thing that we call the world, which is, and to me, I've always worked to that piece of advice. Yeah, it's okay to go, yeah, I know I've got a certain amount of skills and talents, but they'll only open the doors for you. Your attitude once you get there is what's going to make people want to work with you, continue, you know, have you working in their shop, you know, be around you.
Do you know what?
It's all to do with that. And if you're, hang on, because I just want to kind of put a full stop on this for Chris, because if you're the kind of person that goes, what's the answer to this? And somebody goes out of their way to give you advice to help you in your career for no money, just purely out of the goodness of their will and heart and all that sort of stuff. And then because it doesn't fit your worldview, you then go, right, I'm going to make a revenge comment on their YouTube channel to try and rubbish them. You've really got to ask yourself, what kind of fucking human being are you? Right, Chris has answered your questions. He doesn't have to answer any of your questions. He doesn't owe you anything. But to then turn around and go, well, you haven't said what I wanted. You didn't say, yes, you are the best tattoo artist I've ever seen. That shop should open for 15 hours a day and everybody should be sitting around twiddling their thumbs waiting for you to finish your fucking white highlights. So what you've done is go, I don't watch this show anymore. I think it's a really bad attitude. And if that's the attitude you're going to keep, you're going to end up working in a shop on your own with nobody around you.
And because
nobody's
going
to want to work with you.
And you'll never get better. You'll never improve. You'll stay on that
because
fucking
already think your shit don't stink.
Yeah.
Right, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You'll stay in that fucking
rut. So how do you get better? If you can't look at your work critically or your attitude critically and go, actually, yeah, there's some stuff I could get better. I've said this before on the channel. As all creatives, we have to be our biggest cheerleaders and our strongest critics. You have to be able to be incredibly critical of yourself and also believe in yourself.
Do you know what's really funny?
You've got to have a real world view. I mean, get with the program, kid. Fuck's sake.
What I find, what's really funny is there are a lot of you guys that watch us, and I look at your work, and I've met some of you in person, and some of the guys that I've met in person were really, really nice people. They are some of the fucking most phenomenal tattooists I've seen, and guess what, they've been tattooing longer than me.
We're proud of you, a lot of you are knocking out some fucking banging tattoos.
You're not getting the point. Like, they've been tattooing longer than me, so regardless of like what that guy was saying, it's not about like that whole thing of like it's about how much fucking work. It's not. It's about how much time. Like, you get better over time. That's the whole reason why you have the 10,000 hour thing, isn't it?
10,000 hours. Yeah, you put the 10,000 hours in. That's the way it works.
If you take, right, a fucking, again, I'm going to use a carpenter, an electrician, and a plumber, right, as an example. If you get a plumber that's been doing it for 5 years, a carpenter, an electrician, they've all been doing it for 5 years, and then you get their counterparts then that have all been doing it for 20 years, the people that have been doing it for 20 years are going to be faster, more knowledgeable, and more efficient at doing their fucking job. Do you mean? And it's like when I first started tattooing.
It's just time spent.
Yeah, when I first started tattooing, and everyone's eager when they first start. And one of my mates wanted a face tattoo, and I was just like, oh, I really wanted to do it. And there's a tattooist in London, Jeff. He owns Blue Fire Tattoos. He turned around to me and he was just like, "You're not fucking ready." He said, "If I would be telling, you know, the studio owner not to let you do it." And I was just like, do you know what? I respect what you're saying. I'm not ready. And I didn't. And I didn't tattoo a face for fucking ages. Because I, when I sat down and thought about it, I was just like, yeah, do you know what? I'm not ready.
You know. But know yourself. But,
and that's what people need. It's like, yeah, you've got to be able to take on board what people are saying and action it. And if someone says to you, yes, you got promise. All this was about, right? It was basically, this fucking guy is trying to do black and grey realism tattoos, right? And he showed me his work and I didn't want to be offensive or anything like that, but the stuff that he was showing me was like, this took 12 hours to do. And I'm like, that shouldn't take you 12 hours to do. That's a 6-hour tattoo. It's a 6-hour tattoo because, you know, there's three artists in my studio that can do it in 6 hours, but they've all been tattooing for longer than you. So with your time and your experience, I could see why it would take you 12 hours to do that tattoo. Also, the techniques that he was using, he wasn't like marking the stencil in, or he was like doing it as the stencil's on
it
there.
It comes back to that old phrase, you know, learn to walk before you try to run, right? You got to learn to walk first. You know what I mean? You can't move forward to the next step or something until you've mastered the first step of everything. You know what I mean? If you run the way through it, then you're just going to find yourself in a mess. When did everybody get so fucking entitled?
2016.
Right. So in case,
dickheads, like,
now you'll have to excuse me because I'm going to have to reference a couple of notes here. If you'd like to read my 2,000 words piece on this,
ooh,
it will be in the June or July issue of Total Tattoo. In case I haven't mentioned this for a little while, so if you're joining, one of the new people joining us recently, I write a regular column every couple of months in Total Tattoo magazine. Did you not know? Yes, I am a writer as well, and I'm a man of many talents. So I did write about this because it's something that we've been talking about off camera for probably a month, I guess, now. And I've been trying to kind of put together the pieces so that I could not berate you guys or tell you off or anything like that. I don't want any of this to come across like an old man shouting at the clouds and telling you that things were better in my day and, you know, it's all Gen Z's problem and it's all your fault and young people are fucking dopamine-addicted idiots with no brains. I don't believe any of that for a start, right? But what I wanted to do was try and pull it apart, work out where the symptom comes from, and, you know, this plague of narcissism and entitlement, and try and offer some insight and advice based on two things. One, I'm a dad of two kids in their 20s, and I've apprenticed four people in their 20s, and none of them exhibit any of the stuff or any of the attitudes of the world that the guy in the comments that kind of triggered this entire episode is exhibiting. So it is not my belief that it's young people or old people necessarily. It's just some people that have got a view of the world that doesn't work, right? So don't think that this is going to be, you know, just Paul telling you off for 10 minutes. It's not going to be that. I'm going to try and explain to you the way I see it based on the research that I've done. There is some psychology shit in here, which is why I'm going to have to, go to my notes occasionally, because I want to check I know how to say the words I'm about to say, because I'm not a psychologist. It's not one of my many talents. And so that's where this conversation is coming from. So to start with, I want to kind of open it up and go, look, in the world of tattooing, you'll have heard these phrases, and I'm sure you guys will have heard these phrases said by other people. Things like, I want to be a tattooist, but I don't want to learn all the boring stuff like cleaning and all that. I just want to do the stuff that looks good on my Instagram. All right, that's a kind of typical entitled comment. I don't want to start at as the junior and work my way up. I can already draw, right? You know, it's another kind of self-entitled thing. Why can't you just give me all your skills and knowledge for free so that I can do exactly what you do right now? All right, you know, that kind of thing. And those are the kind of things that kind of, you know, worry me, these kind of insane levels of entitlement amongst some tattooists, not all tattooists, and it's not young tattooists or older tattooists, right? It's just some tattooists seem to have this attitude that the world owes them a living. We're getting to a part of history where it is seen by some people as okay to call the emergency services if you lose your car keys. That's actually, that happens to our emergency services in England. I've lost my car keys. They phone, you know, if you're in the States, it's 911. Here in the UK, it's 999, right? I've lost my car keys. There are instances of people being fired from their jobs in shops, but they don't actually work there. They're just shoppers walking around and somebody walking up behind them, ripping the headphones out of their ears, demanding that they show them where the shampoo is. And when they tell them, I don't work here, they go, I don't care, you're fired. You know, or phoning the emergency services because somebody's got your spot on the beach. You know, and like, it's fucking. It's,
do you know what
fucking,
I read one
mate,
the other day?
It's nuts. It's like a. Like,
do you know what I read the other? So I read one the other day where a family just bought a new house, right? And the house had a swimming pool, but the previous owners had like this agreement with their neighbors because they were all friends, and they would allow them to use the swimming pool whenever they wanted. Now the new owners are quite a private family, and they are being constantly pestered to use their swimming pool, and they're just like, fuck off. No, it's my swimming pool. Like, just, and they're like, oh, well, the other people want us to use it. Why won't you? And it's like, because it's my fucking swimming pool. I don't want you in it. And it's just like, but that's that sense of entitlement. It's just like, well, the other people let me use it. And it's like, well, the other people aren't here anymore. So fuck off.
I mean, that's just, it's just mental, isn't it? So for some context, right? Because I think this is where both me and Chris and a lot of my friends are older tattooists, and we've got younger tattooists and newer tattooists working for us. And it's something that we've noticed is that there's a sense of entitlement with some tattooists that makes it almost impossible to have them working in your shop, because you just can't work with them. And so, okay, so for context, when me and Chris were learning to tattoo, and our generation of tattooists, Chris is a bit younger than me, but like, I was a little kid in the 70s, got into my teens in the 80s, and I was in the 20s in the 90s, right? So it was a very analog world, and the narrative that we were given as kids was that the world doesn't owe you anything at all. The world's fucked. I mean, I left school into Margaret Thatcher's Britain, which is, you know, like Reagan's America, really, you know, which starts off really good and turns into an absolute clusterfuck on both sides of the Atlantic, really. And then, so the world that we've grown up in won't give you anything. We were told that. The world will not give you anything at all. If you want it, you've got to go and get it. So when we get into tattooing, for us, tattooing is a journey. Right, it's a journey to be enjoyed, and the whole learning process never really ends. Right, so I'm gonna make an example to you so that you can understand what it is that I'm saying, because this is part of a lesson that I give to all of my apprentices. Right, so I'm just drawing a very cool diagram. I'll probably have to redraw this and then put it up. But like, you can basically see what I'm saying. There's a big arrow there, right? And this is what I tell all of the kids when I'm teaching them, right? So think of it like climbing. This is the bottom of the hill. This is the top of the hill, right? So for all of us, it doesn't matter what the distance is from here to here. Like, because if you're 18 or 19, right, you've got plenty of time to really take your time growing, right? If you're learning to tattoo in your 40s or even, your 50s, right, you're probably going to have to compress that and work a little bit harder, but you're still going to have to cover this distance. So no matter what length this distance is, the bit in between is always called hard work. That's basically how it works. That's the learning curve, the process. Now, the problem is, if you decide, I'm going to just shortcut it and just make it like that, you know, so I've got just, that's, I'm going to make my journey shorter, and you get, you know, you blag your way through, you buy yourself a load of followers, you get, you know, you manage to, you know, fool everybody into thinking that you're a big time rock star tattooist and you get invited to the biggest convention in the world, right? And you turn up there and you've been tattooing for 15 minutes and you don't know how to clean, or, you know, you're sitting there with no gloves on, with your machine not barriered, no clip cord bag. Do you know what I mean?
Or wearing fucking watches.
Wearing, you know, three Rolexes and all that sort of stuff. The tattooists that have put the time in are just going to immediately look at you and go, fucking idiot. He's a try-hard wannabe and he ain't a real tattooist. Not because they're looking down on you, it's because you've tried to make a shortcut and you've tried to leapfrog your way to the front of the queue without doing the work. You've got to do the work. Now, like we were saying in the intro of this, you can become a tattooist with 20 years experience in 7 years, but you're going to have to work three times harder and three times longer to compress that time in. You can get 20 years worth of experience into 7 years, but you're going to have to do three times more work, right? Three times seven is 21, right? So if the average tattooist works 5 days a week, you're going to have to work 10 days a week. You know, you're going to have to figure out how you do that, right? Two 12-hour sessions a day, right? You know, it's going to kill you. It's possible, but it's more difficult, right? But if you just try and shortcut it, there's going to be so many holes in your knowledge and gaps that eventually you could get the best opportunity that you've ever had in life. You know, this is the big time is calling. You've got yourself there and you are woefully underprepared. You know, there's that phrase that says, fail to prepare, prepare to fail, right? And you could have the, and you won't get that opportunity again. What you want to do, like Chris was talking about a face tattoo, what you want to do is get to that point where you're tattooing, you're doing this tattoo, and all these, you know, all the tattooists are watching you, and everybody's looking at you in this, you're in this big setting. What you want to do is be absolutely 100% confident that you can nail this every fucking day of the week. Not go, well, it's the first time I've ever used a three liner at 7 volts. You know, that you don't want to be there, do you? Do you know what I mean? And I think that's part of the social media thing, is that everybody's lying on social media. So, you know, if you spend a lot of time on social media, you can be given the impression that if you're not on your second Lamborghini by the time you're 24, you're a fucking failure. I'm here to tell you that you're not, right? I got into tattooing in my late 30s, having had a career as a musician and a career as a graphic designer. Both of those things added up to life experience, which meant that I could get the work done quickly. I'd already got a lot of transferable skills that helped me out on my way in. But at every step of the way, you know, I've made sure that I can absolutely nail it. I've never took a tattoo on that I couldn't do. If I wasn't 100% confident that I could do it, I'd be like, look, man, I'm sorry, I can't do that right now. You know, you've got to not try to jump forward and believe that you've got to get there so quick. You get there along the journey at your speed. You learn at your speed. If it takes you a little bit longer, then whatever, it takes you a little bit longer. You don't have to go from your garden shed to the biggest conventions in the world in 5 years. I was able to do that because I'd won awards as a musician. I'd won awards as a graphic designer. I'd got so many transferable skills that for me, by the time I sat down to do it, it was literally about learning in the mechanics of how a tattoo machine worked, and it still fucking took me 5 years.
Yeah.
And I've been a professional artist for 10 before that. I've got 10 years worth of experience. It still took me 5 years to get fucking anywhere near good at tattooing. Do you know what I mean? So if you're walking into it because you did a nice pencil drawing of your dog once, and now you think you're going to be able to sit at the big boy table in 10 minutes, like, you got another fucking thing coming. Do you know what I mean?
And that's where you've got to listen to the advice given to you. Because if you're not going to listen to the advice that people give you, you're never going to get anywhere.
I'm sitting there with awards as a graphic designer, sitting listening to, I would listen to any tattooist that would give me any tip at all. Because the way I look at it is, he's been doing this job for 10 years longer than me.
I'll still listen to people.
It doesn't matter that I know I can do the colour part of it better. I would pick this differently. This guy's got skills that I haven't got. It's like when I was telling you about making cups of tea and learning from people. You know, if you're the least experienced person in the room, make the fucking tea for people and have the humility to go, hey, look, I can learn from everybody. And that's it. That's how I learned quick. You know what I mean? Was like, sit the fuck down, shut up, and let the people who know what they're doing teach you how they're doing it. It doesn't matter if you think, well, one day I'll be a much better tattooist than you. Half the people that taught me how to tattoo are nowhere near as good as I am. And I knew that at the time. But they knew shit I didn't know. And so I've got the humility to sit down and go, well, you know how to do shit that I don't know how to do. So I'll just sit and watch you do it. It doesn't get my fucking Billy Big Spuds out. I'm this great artist. I'm like, I can't fucking tattoo. You can. Show me how to do it. Do you know what I mean? It would have been a lot easier for me to sit there and go, actually, darling, I'm an award-winning graphic designer, don't you know? It's fucking nonsense. Like, you know, you don't know how to put a needle in the skin. I do. So you're a fucking idiot. Shut up and learn. I was 38, you know, do you know what I mean? And I still went, yeah, you know what, I'll get the kettle on. You got to, like I'm saying to you, but the reason people would teach me...
You got
to
be humble, man.
The reason they would talk to me is that they can see that you've got a talent and a skill, but because you've got gratitude and humility, that's what keeps you, once you've got through the door, that's what keeps you in the room, because you're not a prick.
But even with the videography side of things, just like, we want to improve this channel as much as possible, and I'm literally giving up my time to spend time with videographers to learn. And I'm not going in and going, well, I studied film when I was like fucking 17. I'm going,
yeah,
what?
I can, you teach know, me how to do it.
Wrong. Teach me.
I will learn that from anybody that will talk to me about that stuff. If they can offer me one nugget of advice that will help me out and make, you know, my image or the setting 2% better, I'm all ears, man. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I'm a guitar playing tattooist. I ain't no filmmaker. You know what I mean? You know, so in a room full of people that know their shit with cameras, I don't know hardly anything. I know how my camera works. And even though I know it well enough to go and do a professional photo shoot for a friend that I absolutely smashed, I wouldn't be standing going, yes, I'm a professional photographer now, don't you know? I'd be like, yeah, I still don't know as much as you guys know. Keep your mouth shut and listen. You know what I mean?
Well, it was really funny, right? I was down that, when I was down, so I was like filming down in that camera show, right? And I'm walking around with a fucking Sony FX6. And if you don't know what Sony FX6 is literally a cinema
it's
camera.
It's a fucking expensive camera.
Yeah, it's a proper Netflix approved cinema camera, because, like, you know, we want to upgrade the channel and so on. So, like, I look like I know what I'm doing, and I've got people coming on to me going like, oh, so we're a videographer, are you? And I'm like, nah, I'm a tattooist.
Yeah. it is what it is. So listen, I want to kind of give you the psychology side of this. So the bit that I've just been telling you about me and Chris and our generation of tattooists, right? This is called a locus of control. And our generation, because we were told, basically, the world's fucked, you're fucked, and if you want anything, you're going to have to go and get it. Nobody's going to come along and help you out. You just got to go and get it for yourself, and that's that. We have, from a psychological point of view, we have what's called an internal locus of control. Basically, what that means is we don't believe, en masse, that as a generation, because this is a generational kind of thing, I think, we don't believe that the world owes us anything, and that the only way for us to be empowered and therefore free is to use our talents, skills and abilities, and if we don't have them, acquire them, to take control of our own lives, right? So we take control of everything, right? So if I'm not entitled to anything at all. Now, if I become a very, very good tattooist and I'm featured in magazines and I'm being paid a lot of money, I'm entitled to that money because of my hard work, and I'm entitled to it to be invited to, you know, very, you know, well-known shows and all that because of the work that I've done has given me a reputation. So I'm entitled to that. I'm not entitled because I'm Paul fucking Talbot or anything like that, or just by virtue of the fact that I exist in the world. My only entitlement comes from my own hard work. And that is a generational thing, it would appear, that because of the narrative of how we were taught things, you know, right from school onwards. It was like, don't expect anybody to come and help you. Get up. You know, we, you know, you can't say it these days, but I'm going to say it. I hope I don't offend anybody. We would, you know, you fall over and skin your knees, and you were just told to just man up, get up, get on with it, you know. And that's not...
Yeah, have a nice cup of...
Right, so and that, that's, it's not a fashionable thing to do it now. But I think that...
I see it as a joke, I do.
You know, it's an important indicator of an attitude that it's like, I've fallen over, I've hurt myself. Well, who's going to come and make it right? Nobody. You're going to have to make it right for yourself. And that's the kind of people that most of the people that I know in tattooing that are running shops and all that sort of stuff, that's where they are. Now, the people like the commenter that started this episode have got the opposite of that, where it's called an external locus of control. It's another, I think it's a psychological term, right? Where the belief there is that I'm here on the planet and the world owes me a living. The world owes me all these things just by virtue of the fact or virtue of the fact that I exist here and therefore all this stuff I deserve, right? For no reason, you know. So I've decided I want to be a tattooist, so I deserve to be the greatest tattooist in the world. I'm not going to put any work in.
Yeah.
I'm not going to study. I'm not going to work my way up through a company. I just want to be a famous tattooist today, right? And when it goes wrong, these are the people that go, something's gone wrong in my life. Whose fault can it be? And it's like they don't want to take responsibility for their actions or for themselves, you know, all that kind of stuff. And this is this external locus of control. I think those two ideas, the internal locus of control and the external locus of control, are, I think they're generational, because I think, you know, older people, you know, I think that's both of us in this instance, were brought up to the narrative amongst our teachers from school onwards was, you've got to go and get it for yourself. And I think the narrative for younger generations is that the world, you know, you can be anything you want to be, and...
To a degree.
No, you can be anything you want to be, but you've got to be prepared to do the fucking work. And it's the bit where they don't say you've got to be prepared to do a lot of hard work, right? They don't add that bit to it. So you end up with a bunch of people that just go, I can be anything that I want to be. I'm just going to say I'm it, and then I'm it, you know. And that's not really how it works. The other thing that I think's happened is that, you know, obviously social media and, the wild prescription of, you know, like psychoactive drugs to kids, you know, like ADHD meds and autism meds and all that sort of stuff. I know that in certain instances they're needed, but certainly around the world there would seem to be like doctors just handing them out like Smarties. And I do think that's having an effect as well. Social media is certainly having a big effect.
Definitely.
I think the pandemic has had an enormous effect on people, because like people getting locked in their
so
head.
I think what social media has done is it's made people feel that they can just do and say what they want, because there's no consequences, or they think there's no consequences to their actions. And that's where you get then people fucking thinking they can put fucking lies or taking things out of context and putting them on a public platform to try and make other people look bad.
Because, you know, purely because you don't agree with their worldview of themselves, where I should be allowed to do everything that I want, even though I don't own this shop and I'm only working in it. I should be able to change the rules in the shop, change the opening times, change the way everybody works to suit me. You can't bend the world around you, right? You have to exist on this planet with everybody else. You're not the only person on the planet. Sorry if that's news to you. And I'm sure for most of you, this is not fucking news, right? Because I read our comments and I interact with you guys all the time. And I don't see a lot of this going on. I see a lot of very healthy attitudes. You know, you guys all realise that you've got a journey in front of you, and you're just trying to get, you know, you're trying to get as good as you can, you know? And you know, to be honest with you, I think these people are becoming... maybe not rarer, but they are in the, as we move away, the further and further away from the pandemic, and social media is losing its grip on people a little bit, I think it's becoming more and more obvious that these people have got, you know, problems that need to be addressed, you know, their entitlement. To wrap this up, what advice could we give you about what's the fix for this, you know?
Have some integrity, maybe.
Have some integrity would be it. If you're sitting here watching it, maybe you're the commenter, you know, or maybe you're sitting there going, well, I do all of those things and I do think the world owes me a living. And maybe you're questioning whether, you know, am I just an old guy screaming at the clouds and I don't understand the problems of the modern world? And I would warn you that that is absolutely not the case. None of that is true except for my age, you know, which I can't do anything about. I mean, that's the, no. I'm not of the opinion that it's all young people. I spent 2 years teaching people in, you know, at university level who were 19 and 20 and found them to be some of the least entitled people that were prepared to put in incredible amounts of work to get good at a job. So I don't think that's a generational thing. And I've got two kids in their 20s, so I see the struggles that they have. And my apprentices still work in the shop. You know, they've stayed on and they carry on working for me because I'm not a prick. You know what I mean? And I watch the struggles that they have with it, and they don't have any of that sense of entitlement. So what's the fix, really? Is if you feel like that this might be aimed at you, then I would ask you to look at your worldview. And look at your attitude to the world. Do you think the world owes you a living? And that just by virtue of the fact that you're here, you should be allowed to do that. You know, just because everybody else has gone through the process, you don't have to. If that's your attitude, then maybe you should take a look at that, because everybody has to walk this path. They have to walk the whole path as well. You can't just walk a bit of the path and expect to get to the end. You've got to, you know, this is a bit like running a marathon and like taking a shortcut halfway through or jumping in a car. You know, it doesn't work that way, right? And for those of us that are already there, because I think this is the majority of us, and all the, you know, you guys that I talk to, I think the majority of us have got the worldview that I want something and I know it's going to be hard work and I'm prepared to put the work in to get there. For us, you know, I think what we have to do for those poor people that, you know, are so horribly entitled is, I think that we have to become the change that we want to see. You know, it's the old Gandhi phrase, isn't it? You know, and that's why I'm not trying to be down on people that are in that position and that feel that way about the world. I'm just, you know, imploring them to, you know, just look at what it is that you're doing and what you're asking of people and understand that what you're asking is completely unreasonable, completely self-centered. And I'm trying not to be any of those things. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to have a worldview where I go, the world owes me this. And, you know, just because I've got a YouTube channel, I don't expect to have 100 million viewers after a month. I'll spend 3 years of my life chatting to my mate every week and, you know, a couple of hundred people at a time. You know, we have celebrations when we get 1,000 views on a video. You know, we don't expect, just because we make these things, that anybody comes here and watches them. You know, we're always overjoyed and appreciative of the fact that you guys love what we're doing and see what it is that we're trying to get at. And I think we've got to, all of us have got to try and put that into our every day of our lives, into every aspect of our lives, you know. Because the last thing you fucking want to be, and this outro might get me fucking divorced, so I've got to be careful about this. The last thing you want to be is a Karen or a Ken. my wife's name is Karen. So you can imagine the struggle I have with this episode, you know. Thankfully she's got a very good sense of humour, you know. And so with that, guys, I hope this has been food for thought, this episode. And I hope that, you know, like all of us, you know, we check your entitlement and check your attitude. I think we all do it.
Yeah. Can I just say something as well?
Of course you can. You haven't said anything for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, I had the first half, so, you know, later on the second half. Like, I just want to say, like, if you are one of these people that is going to make a comment like that on the podcast or on our YouTube channel, and we do come back and set the record straight, have the fucking integrity to keep that comment there.
That's a bit like running up to somebody in the middle of the street, shouting, do you want to fight? And when they go, yeah, just running away.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's at least have the courage of your own convictions. If you're going to make a snide comment, You know, just leave it where it is. You know, we don't mind. We'll, you know, we'll fight our corner, you know, because we love what we're doing and we love the channel and we care a lot about it, and we will fight our corner. But just, you know, think of it like, you know, you've said something, you know, you've been put straight. Think of it as an opportunity to learn, rather than, oh, I didn't come out looking very good in that, so I'm going to delete my comment and then I look great
things.
Again. Yeah, we screenshot everything.
Because what I do is...
Because we're making a list of the people we're going to kill one day, you know?
Yeah. No, what I do is I screenshot it and I send it to Paul and go... I send it to Paul and then I send him my response and say, do you reckon that's okay? And then Paul comes back and goes...
No, nope. I think we should get the entire third paragraph. Well, no, I mean, it's one of them things, guys. I mean, you know, for us, having comments like that, unfortunately, with where the world is, it means that the channel's growing. That's just is what it is, right? And so with that, this has been, a Sunday morning. I'm not sure how this is going to cut together, so I never know what to say on the outro because, you know, you never know how these episodes are coming out. I hope it's made you smile. I hope it's made you laugh. We'll try and throw a few funny memes in there, I guess, and lighten it up because it's been a little bit dark, this one. So enjoy the rest of your Sunday. This has been That Tattoo Show. I've been Paul.
And I've been Chris. And don't forget, like, subscribe.
Oh, yeah, and thanks to our sponsors and all that, you know. Yeah, Electrum and Total Tattoo. And with that, tell the lawyer, tell the judge, tell the priest. Tell all the people that do dirty deletes to stop doing them dirty deletes, because we screen grab them anyway and then we put them on blast. And with that, we'll see you next week. See ya.
Peace.